This is Chris Risley from Dwell Community Church, and I have a 10-minute devotional to share with you. This will actually be part one of a two-part series on the topic of anger. Now, it's probably no surprise to you to learn that measurable anger is on the rise. A shocking stat that I read recently is that between 2014 and 2023, road rage shootings have increased by 449%. I didn't know it was that bad. I can tell you that when I'm in traffic and someone cuts me off or doesn't go at a green light, I am hesitant to honk my horn because I don't know what's going to happen. Driving through my neighborhood a couple of months ago, I live on a residential street. I was driving and I saw a biker, and so I went to kind of drive around the biker, give him plenty of room. And a car was coming towards me, and there was room for both of us on the road, but I was admittedly in the center of the road because of the person on the bicycle. And I don't know what the driver coming towards me thought, and I also don't know what he said, but based on his hand gestures and the look on his face as he screamed at me through the windshield, I can only imagine what it was that he thought of my driving skills. We struggle with anger, people struggle with anger, and it's helpful to be able to turn to the Word to get a feel for how we should even deal with it. So today I would like us to turn to 1 Samuel 25 to explore this topic. Now, this is set in a time when David has been on the run from King Saul, who tried to kill him when he was living in Israel. And Saul spent the past couple of years tracking David down, even when he ran away. David's had to move from place to place as Saul keeps finding him. And so 1 Samuel 25 opens up verse 1. It says, "Now Samuel died, and all Israel gathered for his funeral. They buried him at his house in Ramah." Samuel was the prophet who God told to anoint David as the next king. Samuel was one of the first people to see the plan God had for David, one of the first people to really believe in David. And David probably wasn't even able to go to the funeral because it had put his life at risk. So it opens up with that. But then it tells us that David moved down to the wilderness of Maon. There was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the town of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. This man's wife was Nabal. His wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. We'll learn more about her in the next devotional. It says, "But Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was crude and mean in all his dealings." So the Bible emphasizes a couple things about this guy: how wealthy he was. It's possible that sheep shearing time with 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats could have netted him 1 metric ton of wool. So he was close to being a millionaire. And also how terrible he was. The name Nabal means fool. And it's probably not the name given to him by his parents, but it so characterized his character that people started calling him that. And it's not just coincidence that that was his name. Scripture specifically tells us he was crude and mean in all his dealings. Well, sheep shearing time was a time of great celebration, kind of like our Thanksgiving and Christmas rolled in all together. And it says, "When David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel with this message for Nabal: Peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I'm told that it's sheep shearing time. While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own men, and they will tell you that this is true. So would you be kind to us since we have come at a time of celebration? Please share any provisions you might have on hand with us and with your friend David." David's young men gave this message to Nabal in David's name, and they waited for a reply. Okay, this is actually very polite of David. Ancient hospitality meant he could have just shown up, and Nabal would have been obligated to offer provisions. But instead of showing up, which would have been allowed, David instead extends the courtesy of asking. And this was a very humble request, and it was vulnerable. He was asking for kindness. He had been rejected by a lot of people at this point, and he was still putting himself out there. I don't know about you guys, but I hate asking anyone for anything. It admits that I need something, let alone when it's a difficult time in my life. So here's David requesting something, and let's see how Nabal responds. Verse 10. "Who is this fellow David?" Nabal sneered to the young men. "Who does the son of Jesse think he is? There's a lot of servants these days who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shearers and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where?" Well, it's not just no, it's get out of here. So David's young men returned and told him what Nabal had said. Okay, so now we're back at David's camp, and you can picture David waiting with the rest of his men, almost anticipating the feast and the party, because they would have assumed that Nabal would have said yes. They see the 10 young men returning. They're perhaps even starting to get ready. And they get this reply. Does this mean that they're just not going to go? How does David respond to Nabal's crude and mean rejection? Verse 13, it tells us David's reply was, "Get your swords," as he strapped on his own. Then 400 men started off with David, and 200 remained behind to guard the equipment. Oh, they're going. But instead of going to a party, they're getting suited up for war. All right, so this leads to the question, is David overreacting? I would say yes. Yes, he is overreacting. Now, on the one hand, it's understandable for a couple of different reasons. The first is that he's in a lot of pain. He has been on the run for years now. He's been rejected by a lot of people, sometimes in very painful ways. And there's also the fact that Samuel just died. And so he's under a tremendous amount of stress, and he also has suffered a pretty significant loss in his life. Also, notice how demeaning Nabal is towards David. He calls him the son of Jesse. I have to wonder if part of what upset David is that Nabal touched on a very sensitive part of his heart. If you turn back to 1 Samuel 16, you'll read that David's dad thought so little of him that he didn't even call David in from the field when Samuel asked Jesse to assemble all of his sons. Samuel asked Jesse, "Please bring all of your sons," and Jesse brought in sons number 1 through 7. And they got to the end of them, and Samuel said, "Is this all you have?" And Jesse's like, "Oh, yeah, there's one more," and doesn't even say his name. And it's only on Samuel's insistence that Jesse brings David in from the field, the man whom God had chosen to be the next king. And now Nabal is asking, "Do you think you're someone important? No, you're a nobody." Which kind of echoes some of the messages that David heard growing up. So it is understandable why David got so upset, but it's still an overreaction. And here's the thing, that's so often how it goes. David has been turning the other cheek with Saul and everyone else for years now, bearing up under the pain and suffering. Then rejection from a nobody and he just snaps. And I found this to be the case in my life, that the big struggles, the big hurts are, ironically, sometimes easier to bear because I see them for what they are. Conflict with someone, perhaps some form of persecution, some sort of pain. Those are hard, but I can put them in their proper place. And I think, well, I need to respond very faithfully. But then something little happens and I lose it. You know, maybe it's a difficult conversation with a friend and I go in prepared and I try to be patient and I try to be kind and I try to share from my own life and I feel like, oh, that went really well. And then I get home and my husband or my kids have left their shoes out and I find myself losing my temper because I'm out of emotional resources. And, you know, I really appreciate how realistic the Bible is about his heroes. David is somebody that even people who don't know the Bible very well know of his great exploits. And yet when we turn to the pages of Scripture, he's a real person, just like everybody else on the pages of Scripture are real men and real women, far from perfect. So what now? David is about to make a major mistake in his emotional overreaction. Will he get it together in time? Well, tune in for our next devotional and we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, I would encourage you, as you face situations where you find your anger rising, that you, like David, could perhaps consider a few of these deeper questions. Are there stressful circumstances that have worn you down? Are you going through something painful that drains your emotional reserves? Is this person or situation touching on old hurts? Asking yourself questions like this can help turn the focus off the person or situation who has angered you and onto areas of your life where God would like to minister to you. And He does have healing available for you. Thanks for joining us today. For more resources like this, please visit us at dwellcc.org.